Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford books and specifically the Laws of Material Wealth, which is now the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program with a book, workbook with five exercises per chapter, four DVDs, and 54 weeks of support material and 54 radio shows, which you can access by going to Blog Talk Radio, BLOGTALK, blogtalkradio.com/Renford, RENFORD. That will take you to the homepage of Radio by Renford, where we have 11 shows per week with hosts in New York, Boston, Seattle, Denver, Little Rock, and Memphis. You can view, they're all of different genres, so you can go in and check out the shows, listen to some shows. If you read the titles, you can just scroll into the archives. The archives are somewhere around 5 years of archives there, so you can go in and check that. My guest this evening, Lavita McCool, was on my show 5 years ago. At that time, I was doing the Searcher's Roadmap, and then we developed the No Show. Both these shows, the No Show and Searcher's Roadmap, have been taken over by different hosts in the group, and because it's difficult for me to handle well more than the one, the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Lavita will be recapping some of the things that have happened in the last 5 years. She's very much at the forefront of financing for small businesses, and that's where we met when she was in credit manager and so forth with Hope Federal Credit Union. And so we'll be talking with her this evening. I want to remind you that if you've got anyone who would like to listen to the show and maybe are not in a position, not near an internet or are not online, they can call in. You can listen to this show by dialing 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you'd like to ask a question and you're listening via the internet, you dial that same number, 347-838-9142. Press the 1 button on your touchtone dial, and that will flag me to bring you in for your question of Lavita or myself. And, of course, those who are not where they can get to a computer can listen simply by calling that number and listening in to Radio by Renford. My Renford Revelation tonight, once we've read that, we'll get back and talk directly with Lavita. Remember, you can go to iam-cor.org /blog and review this blog and any from over the many weeks that the Renford Revelations have been made available. You can review them at iam-core.org/blog, or you can go and visit the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics at that same address, iam-core.org. There you can see the 3 degree levels of study. You can download 3 free ebooks. You can view the bookstore and something of the history of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. So be my guest and visit us at iam-cor.org. Now, to the Renford Revelation for this evening. This blog is entitled Religion. Religion has been called the opium of the people by men expounding wrong thought. Religion has its purpose, though it may not be what the practicing Christian, Muslim, Hindu, or Buddhist thinks it is. Religious people are drawn to their religion through family and tradition. Many are drawn to a religion by their physical, mental, spiritual needs. There's a deep inner yearning for understanding that draws us, even if we are not satisfied with what we find. It is not possible in a deluded state to understand the universal laws because these principles seem to reach out to us, and when we understand them, we have come into some degree of harmony with the universal being, that's God. Coming into harmony with these laws makes it possible to manifest our objectives and fulfill our primary purpose. It is an enlightened, positive, and creative process. It is an exact science working within exact laws to fulfill an exact purpose. Emerson points out in his essay, Gifts, that nature does not coddle us. We are children, not pets. She is not fond. Everything is dealt to us without fear or favor after severe universal laws. Here we mean severe in that they are exact, specific. The Bible states that the Creator causes it to rain on the just and unjust alike, which should give us cause to question the fact that all factions pray to their God to assist them in their struggle with their enemies. A religion that represents the Creator as capricious, emotional, vengeful, and murderous on the one hand, and as a kind father who has favorites for whom he provides special privileges on the other hand, might be considered a form of self-delusion bordering on a stupor induced by opium. While I view most religions as hopelessly bogged down and, in fact, perversions of the universal laws, it does not mean that there's no place for such organizations and that they do not serve a useful purpose for people. Each soul must find the path to unfoldment and understanding. It is impossible to start without a base. There must be a continuing set of platforms from which to work. The work on self must begin with the study of self, and religion provides that base. It is the only base for most to begin any level of understanding. At the very least, the world's religions postulate the existence of a supreme being we refer to as God. They teach that the source of all is God, even if it is an anthropomorphic one. Mostly we wander about in our traditions and dogmas looking for truths and directions without the ability to put it all together in an understandable process. For those who seek God through their religious tradition, there is a way to know if they know what to look for. Number one, do not look for God somewhere outside of ourselves. Number two, recognize that as the Bible tells us, we live, move, and have our being in God, and God dwells in us. From recognition of our being, we can know our pure potentiality and abundance of all kinds. This is our birthright, and we deserve this abundance. We come in close contact with this inner being in meditation and when we sleep. Four, a position of knowing is possible via the process of identifying and verifying the universal laws in our lives. This is far preferable to blind faith in what some minister, priest, mullah, monk, or monk tells us is true. Five, recognize that forgiveness is a part of the universal law of giving. We are giving up the resentment and feelings that are in fact blocking our progress. Six, recognize that we have a purpose and cannot allow others, regardless of their needs, to interfere with the duty to ourselves. We are here because we wanted to be here. Our lives were not thrust upon us by someone else, but are the result of our desire to experience and learn. Seven, recognize that there are unchangeable, immutable laws that have been set in place for us in the midst of a world of changing matter, that these laws or truths are to be found where we are in the religion of which we are participants. We find them by the process I call spiritual IV. Identify and verify the universal laws in our life experiences. Aldous Huxley, who was not a spokesman for any of the world's religions, and at the same time for all of them, states, "The almighty creative intelligence of the Absolute is the source of all intelligence. Being is the source of all power. It is the source of all nature and of the natural laws which maintain the different forms and phenomena in creation." He says, "Then the Father in heaven and man on earth are united in the same goal of eternal good. Man, through all his thoughts, words, and actions, is a part of the process of creation. He serves the purpose of creation, and on all levels of his individual life, he gains fulfillment in the purpose of cosmic life." Finally, Huxley notes that the impersonal aspect of God is formless, supreme. It is eternal, an absolute being. It is without attributes, qualities, or features. This is because all attributes, qualities, and features belong to the relative field of life, whereas the impersonal God is of an absolute nature. It is the maintainer of creation in the sense that it is the essential constituent of creation. Everyone is where they are supposed to be in this process. Making fun of a person because his religion seems archaic to us or not as enlightened as we think our religion is only exposes our own ignorance. It is like a 15-year-old making fun of a 5-year-old because the 5-year-old can't do what he can do. Who is really ignorant, the 5-year-old or the 15-year-old? If we make a person aware of our faith and they are drawn to us and our religion, we consider them enlightened or saved. If they do not accept our testimony, we see them as not too smart or, worst, lost. The fact is, they are going down the same road we are. We call it life, and we are looking for answers. They, like us, are finding answers, but often in the most unusual way. What we all need to recognize is that regardless of how we are engaged, the answers come from within. Where else should we expect them to come if we recognize the fact that God dwells within man? And that is my Renford Revelation for this evening, the 16th of October, 2015. And now I'd like to bring on my guest, Lavita McCoo. Lavita has been I'd say in the forefront, as long as I've known her, she's been working to assist individuals, especially entrepreneurs, in the process of having funds available. She's worked for Hope Federal Credit Union, for Sun Trust, and has developed a program. I believe it is called The Kingdom. How do you call it, Lavita?
It's Solomon and Abram, and it's a part of Kingdom Ministries.
Kingdom Ministries. And welcome to the show, Lavita.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on. You are so inspiring, so motivating.
Well, it's been 5 years since you've been on the show. What has been going on in these 5 years?
Wow, so much has been going on. First of all, when I was on your show, program manager for Hope Credit Union, which is Hope Federal Credit Union now, it was a community charter then, and we've grown to, and I always say we because I was a part of that foundational growth here in the Mid-South, which is Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee, the West Tennessee part. And from then on, on the show I talked about my company. I believe at the time we had just Basha Shine, which means Daughter of Promise, and it's a natural body care company. And we just received an honor of being named the best, having the best logo of the South, which is a part of, you know, everything that we deem the South, Georgia all the way Florida. So I competed with other companies as it relates to their branding and marketing and received that best logo award. And so from then on, just Tom, Mom, and those boys, I have 4 sons, they bring me so much joy. And it's just been like a treat. So from Hope Federal Credit Union, I went on to work for Operation Hope, which is actually the I guess I would say, the most noted nonprofit as it relates to fighting the war on poverty, which is an awesome organization. It was founded by John Hope Bryan, and he actually put models called Hope Inside within these big, huge financial institutions such as SunTrust and Wells Fargo, as well as First Tennessee here in Memphis. And so I was a part of Ground. And my job there was a program as a program manager or credit financial credit manager, where I sit down with the community, whoever wants to come in, and we'll go over their credit. And no matter how bad it was, I would give them tools to, you know, either fix it, repair it, restore it, rebuild it, establish it even. And so I think I'm very skilled at that. And later on, maybe a year or so ago, I've always was a financial person. My background, my family, I think I'm the only female cousin in finance, but all of my male cousins work in the financial industry, whether it's their stockbrokers or mortgage loan originators. All of us work in finance. And other half, my maternal side, they're teachers, so they're really into the service and education. So I'm so privileged that I get to marry the two within myself and be a financier as well as an educator. And so from then, I was a part of a group, Kingdom Ministries, where we developed Solomon and Abram. And Solomon, of course, was noted as being very wise. And, of course, Abram, before his name was Abraham, was the father of nations. And we can only say that he left such a generational wealth for all of us. So it's noted in Scripture. But we developed that concept with me at the forefront, and to go around to different nonprofits, churches, organizations, even within and private companies, and on finances, whether it's budgeting, whether it's something entrepreneurship, and so on. I was privileged to work while I was working with Operation Hope and SunTrust to meet billionaires and even Andrew Young, and which is a huge civil rights icon, as well as many others. And our last summit was with President Bill Clinton, and it was just it's so amazing, just the journey from just being a little stay-at-home mom, just where. I mean, I didn't know that this was in me. So, I honestly fight it every day. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I do. Just where I've come from in just such a short amount of time. So, right now, we're just doing Solomon and Abrams. People coming, clients of the United States, and from Texas to New York, Georgia, of course, Florida, all the way up to all over California, so in Nevada, so as well as Tennessee. But it's just been taking off. It's amazing, just where I've come in such a short amount of time.
Going back to Hope Federal Credit Union, what do you attribute that success to? I mean, this was a very small operation, a sort of a second chance operation with, I think, were there not some political people involved in the startup of that?
Yes, it was. Actually, it's a CDFI, which is Community Development Financial Institution, which my president, he's a great man, Bill Bynum. He started out in a church, I believe, and I believe Anderson United Methodist Church in Jackson, Mississippi. And he just, that being a southern town and most of the people there, they did not believe in financial institutions. Of course, if you want a farmer, you didn't have a business like merchant and farmer bank or something like that. That people just mainly had that same mentality from the Depression era that they did not trust. So he wanted to build an institution based off trust and people just bring whatever they had, you know, instead of having these big, large initial deposits as it relates to these bigger bank and finance, these bigger institutions. He just wanted something like really just spoke to down home and starting or even second chances. You know, if you live, you make mistakes. And so it's the same thing in finances. If you're living, you make mistakes in your finances, whether it was your fault or someone else's fault. And what I mean by something else's fault, like identity theft and so on. And so that's where they started. And, you know, from him serving on to administration, he began to grow larger. The governor of Mississippi. And just think about it. Mississippi was the most impoverished state in the Union. So that says a lot, you know, as it relates to just an idea that this man had and a group of people shared to now they have, they've acquired financial institutions, I believe, three of them, one being American Savings here in Memphis, Tennessee, and the others being small financial institutions that got into a little bit of trouble, you know, during that crash that we had, 2000. A recession, repression, it was everything. Depression, it was everything that we've just now coming out of back in 2008 and 2009, 2010, those 3 years had to have been the toughest for a lot of people, you know.
Was that a mortgage company?
A mortgage company? What do you mean?
I mean, the one that took over, was that a company involved in mortgages?
I don't think so. It was a small bank in near Kosciuszko, Mississippi. Yes. But we had mortgage services, mortgage products, small business products, savings and loans. I mean, everything that you get. You can think of Hope Credit Union has it now. And so I think I attributed that success to the fact, reference, that I was just hungry. You know, I didn't have a college degree. I did not have, I would say, the pedigree of a banker per se as far as the education. But by me, it being in my blood, that's just something that I knew. And it's something that through, as you said earlier, the God in me, or, you know, the financial acumenship and all of that, you know, it was one of those things where it was like the perfect fit for.
Now you were like a public relations officer, or you seemed to be involved in a lot of different events where you got small business people together.
Right, because all my life, like I said, I've been around entrepreneurship. I've been around people that serve. So that part of it was really easy. And I just, you know, pinpointed the need. And the need was small business ownership and small business ownership as it relates to more than, hey, I got this idea. I have this stay-at-home business. And just having the resources available to people to give to them so they can grow. You know, everybody can have what we call, because I'm of that era, MTV and all that, that we call it a grind or a hustle or, you know, something on the side that I do. But what's on the side that you do could actually really save your life. My business, personally, it saved my life. You know, it gave me an avenue to really express who I was, not so much so on being in the corporate America or working with big financial institutions did for me, because I worked somebody, another man's vision, but having your own vision and making it your main work, you know. And so I wanted to give people that kind of opportunity, you know, that they didn't think they had the education for, even the credit for. So
the,
I just saw the need and I just said that.
Moving from Hope Federal Credit Union to a large bank like SunTrust must have been quite a jump. What was the difference for you between working with a startup like Hope and working for a larger bank?
It was a big jump. It was a big jump because, you know, I love the fact that I was able to bring, first of all, just the initiatives that I started while I was at Hope, from the Design to Win Financial Literacy Book Club, from Design to Win Networking Event, Networking Mixer, being an IRS FIDA site coordinator for 3 years. And I could go on and on because I worked there for about 4 years. So it was, and after doing that time, my marriage had ended. And so it was a very retrospective part of my life where I said, okay, let me concentrate on my strength. And so my strength led me to Operation Hope and the Hope Inside program inside of SunTrust. It was a big jump working, first of all, working with a nonprofit with a big budget and a lot of notoriety. I mean, from Bernice King, the whole, like, if you want to say, Quincy Jones. I mean, these are big names that everyone knows. That they were contributors to Operation Hope, and along with a lot of other big names. And the same from our president there. I mean, he worked with everybody, every presidential administration. He was the president of the board of financial empowerment, as far as with the presidents and everything, for sure, President Barack Obama. And so then going to SunTrust and having to interview with the president and having who is Johnny Moore here in Memphis, to meeting the big president, Bill Rogers of SunTrust. And he's a really cool guy, by the way. We took a selfie. And the fact that he knew my name, you know, because of the work that I've done here. It was a huge step. It took a lot of, I want to say courage, I won't say gumption, but, you know, your passion speaks for you. And I'm glad that they chose me. I was the first, and I was able to bring First Tennessee in and still to deal with that, and as well as being featured on Channel 13, Channel 24. I mean, every news outlet on, I think every 3 months I was on somebody's television and working with Leadership Memphis to help people, one, to get back in school and continue their education or even start their education, to help them with their default stuff. It's just major, and I really never just sit back and think about it, Ripper, like the lives that I've been used to impact, you know, as far as, like, even people buy homes and everything. So the experience with SunTrust was major. I learned so much about what makes the big banks run, and just, like, their mentality when it comes to I think their paradigm shifted from, hey, we want your money, and now they are offering things or offering programs and services for who may have had money or had good credit and who are their members, you know, or their shareholders, to really, you know, look at people as people and not a number or a dollar amount, you know. And so with that being said, I think, go ahead.
I was going to ask, was SunTrust the initial sponsor for Operation Hope?
Yes, as far as the Hope Inside program, yes. They had a lot of, like, incubators going on in California with Bank of the West and Wells Fargo and Bank of America was a contributor to their program. But having people, as far as these big, huge bank presidents, to see that, okay, we just need to calm down a little bit, you know, and not pressure our retail people, because their own retail employees, they couldn't get loans from the banks that they worked at. You know what I'm saying? So that was the most important part, I believe. They really did some soul searching and said, we need to support this program. So we're happy to say that it's two counselors for First Tennessee here. It's one counselor for SunTrust. I handle all the SunTrust branches. I believe I had 27 of them. And we had this big grand opening at Brickley Plaza, and we had over 200 people there. John O'Brien has a book called How Can the Poor Save Capitalism, which is almost an oxymoron, but it's contradictory, but it's true. The poor can save capitalism, because one thing that we need to know, period, that poor people need credit. They don't have liquid capital, but rich people have liquid capital. But it's what you have to leverage them off of one another. So if you have credit, you know, you get what you need, but you want to liquefy something. So whether it's went and bought a television, you know, with a credit card, and I'm going to sell the television and get capital and pay my bills so I can get good credit. You know, it's just little things that you can do to leverage one to the other one.
Did you do credit training and credit enhancement type of work with that, or were you just working with the nonprofits?
Oh, yes, I did it then. You know, when the branch managers figured it out really quick, they wanted to close these loans. So if they had someone who has some credit issues, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good-hearted thing, but at the end, it's about the bottom line. So they would refer those clients to me. I clean their credit up probably in about 30 days and send them right back so they can get a loan. So I believe I made SunTrust about $200,000. I kept one of their million-dollar clients from I'm leaving. So
did you bring that expertise and that function to your own company there, Kingdom Ministries? Is that exactly what you do there too?
That's exactly what I do. And I have mortgage loan originators, realtors, just different people all around just referring their clients to me, and that's what I do for them.
Can anybody who has a small business or a home-based business or is dreaming about starting a business contact you?
Yes, of course. My number is 901-277-5284.
277-5384?
5284.
That's a 901 area code, folks. And we'll have her repeat that later. Is there an email address or website that they listeners can go to check out Kingdom Ministries?
Yes, actually it's SolomonandAbrams.com. It's Solomon, like, you know, common spelling, and Abram, AndAbrams.com.
SolomonandAbrams.com.
Yes.
Is that a now, is that your financial partners, the ones who are making funds available?
That is not my financial partner, but we're actually in the process of adding that information. We're going through some tests right now, and so to see if that's going to be a viable relationship. But for the most part, we have some tools where people can go to, I would say, to utilize when it comes down to finding a proper lender.
Now, do you get involved at all in startup capital or, let's say, venture funding or joint ventures or any major area, or is this essentially small loans?
Just small loans. We don't do, as of right now, venture capital. But we do small lending as it relates to just giving you a resource and just say, hey, just go there. We really we just concentrate mainly on credit education and our credit services. I've gone so far to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I believe I was there in June to speak on credit. And the response there was phenomenal. I think we had about 100 people in our session. So it was really impactful. And most of which, it was a Latino community. So it was really good. I loved that. And it was it was diverse I'm involved with. Because the thing about having money, and you know this because you deal with universal laws, and I just love what you said about, I believe the verse of Revelation, I think it was 5 or 6, where you were talking about you really have to look within yourself and be able to have rule and to have dominion, you know, in this world. And it's something about when you have money and you don't know the rules of money, that you will continue to lose, you know, at the game of money. Because to me, it's really like credit, especially. It's really just a game, and you just have to know how the rules of the game. And for the Americans not to know the rules of finance, it's almost, it behooves me, because the Bible says that money answers everything. And so when you don't know the rules of just that, that's a problem.
Because
you don't have the answers that you need.
You're talking about playing the game there of credit and so forth. But and those three big credit agencies, they don't really play, do they? I mean, that's not.
They don't play fair. They don't play fair, Ripper.
Yeah.
You see, these are major. Look, Ripper, these are major corporations. People think like they're government entities, like they're something to be afraid of. No, these people use your information. They make money off of you. For you, every time you fill out a credit application, every time that you you fill out even a job application, the three most important numbers most people don't know, and it's their weight, and I mean their debt weight, and their credit score. We don't know.
And some of them are kind of slow about correcting mistakes, aren't they? I mean, I see some of them are very, you know, if you take Equifax, for instance, it always seems to be the lowest and the slowest.
Yes.
With the ratings. That was just my observation. Equifax can come back and complain to me if they want, but that's been my observation.
Right. I remember what you said. You have to be really what you were saying, like you have to be the first partaker of your fruit, and you're always trying to help people. You're not helping yourself. And that was one of the things that I really thought about today. And I was seeing where I was helping so many other businesses grow, but I was not being helped myself. Of course, you get a salary, you know, and never do some things, but when you find true enjoyment and when you're really honoring the God in you is when you're impacting with the knowledge that you know and the knowledge, the wisdom, and everything that you know, you're impacting yourself. And then you can help so many people, you know? And so, and they are the slowest, and they are, it seems like they are the lowest, because you have to know what's on there. And so many times we don't want to confront our issues. And that's really what credit is you're confronting where you are right now. What mistakes have I made? What decisions have I made? What things have been placed on there with no fault of my own? So with that being said, what's not your fault? Well, it's not your fault that you have a common name and that you were named after your dad, you were named after your mom, and their bad habits or their mess up, their hiccups, became yours through mistaken identity. And so 70% of people, well, 7 out of 10, which is 70% of people, have mistakes on their credit. But you won't know that because you're so bogged down with fear, and fear would never want you to succeed. I mean, fear doesn't operate like it wants you to prosper, you know what I'm saying, because you want. I mean, it's a huge stop sign there. So,
That fear is a killer.
It is. Absolutely. And so,
what was the, now you've got a lot of lenders out there, and on the internet, dozens and dozens and dozens of all kinds of offers of funding. And then when you go through the process, you know, you seem to run against similar type of problems in each case. What is it about Solomon and Abrams that is, in your mind, unique or strong?
Oh, I think it's strong because from my credit background, I'm also a home ownership counselor, by home ownership counselor through HUD. We also have a real estate investor there. We have a realtor there. We have two students, like, with master degrees. Young people. I'm young, okay, but they're younger than me. And so they're just passionate about learning and just the whole, like, financial, I would say, spectrum. And so I think it's unique because you have all that wealth of knowledge there. So give and take any situation that you ever gone through, we're a place where you can actually feel good about trusting us, as well as knowing that wherever you are right now, it's just a comma, it's not a period. So in punctuation, a comma is just a pause. Like, you have to pause and go back over the first part of the sentence to get an understanding or even a switch up at the end, you know. And so wherever, whether you've been divorced or you have foreclosure issues, you've been sick and you have medical bills, most people don't know that even medical bills or medical collections, once that doctor sends your information to a medical collector, hey, if you write them and say, hey, I'm disputing this, look, if they respond back and say it's yours, it's a violation of your HIPAA rights. And so they either have to delete it or pay you, or just delete your medical collection. And so most most people don't know that. But I think people will get, like, they'll get the information that they need. They'll get life skills, life lessons. I'm not the type that wants to someone to pay me to do their credit and then consult with them about their credit. And then here it is down the road, you got to pay me again. You know, I just want you to be equipped, you know, and that's what they'll get. I think that's what's different between us and Lexington Law or us and credit, creditrepair.com or any of these other things. You want to be equipped, you know, to pass on that information to your loved ones and even as a life skill for yourself.
Now, Solomon and Abrams, they will actually extend loans going down below the typical finance company, won't they?
Yes. We work through, we have some resources that will give you access to loans. Yes.
So let's make sure at this point that, number one, if you've got a question that you would like to ask LaVita, then go ahead and call 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. Press the 1 button on your dial, and that will flag me to bring you in for your question. And right here on the line, she may be able to answer questions that you've had for some time and hadn't been able to find an answer for it. So do that. Now, the web address, if you'd like to go in and check on this, you just go to www.solomonandabrams.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Solomon.
And we're on Facebook. And we're on Facebook as well, Solomon and Abrams.
Okay, Solomon's and Abrams on Facebook as well. And I suppose LaVita McCoo is on there too, the world famous.
Of course I am.
LaVita McCoo.
The world famous.
And let me ask you something. Now, you are experiencing being an entrepreneur, not only from the standpoint of Kingdom Ministries and so forth, but you've had a beauty salon. Do you still have that?
Yes, that was so funny. Wow, yeah. Well, no, I don't have that anymore.
But you are manufacturing soap.
Yes, soap and natural body care products, yes.
And are you now a manufacturer as well?
Yes. I have a contract with the Hilton Hotel, as well as I'm a Hilton vendor, and as well as I make create products for beauty salons.
So this You are experiencing being an entrepreneur at the same time as you're servicing entrepreneurs with financial matters.
Yes.
That should put you in the position of being somewhat sympathetic, but at the same time knowing that management is often as big a problem as the money.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. Can we talk about that? This is real life stuff. So,
yeah, I'd love for you to, because it was my experience when I raised capital for a new business that most of them thought that all they needed was money, but I found that in most cases their management style and management capabilities were as big a problem.
Oh, yeah, mine sucks. So let's talk about that. So I realized mine was crap. Because it's a time management. If you have a money problem, it's because you have a time management problem. And I am one of the biggest procrastinators, one of the biggest time, people won't just say this. But it's in acknowledging your weaknesses that it's so amazing that you're surrounded by people, though, that are experts in time management done right then. So it's hopefully those things will rub off on you. And that's my number one thing for business owners. You have to network, and you have to be accountable to people. And most people, they think, oh, Vita, you just know all of this stuff, and you're just brilliant, and you've done this, and you've done that. But I had to stop thinking, because people will think of you a certain kind of way, and you'll think of yourself differently. And so, but you have to allow people to come into your, almost into your weaknesses, and be like a iron sharpens iron, you know, and help you to flesh out those things where you're not so good in, you know. And so, as for me, I'm very sympathetic to small business owners, a 9-to-5, and also have side businesses and have a family and have all these different projects and things going on, then I'm sympathetic to people who this is all they do, their business is what they do. And so you have to find a support system, and you have to find people that's, number one, they're going to agitate the crap out of you so you can do better, you know. Refer, you're my agitator. And so, and also, as well as encourager and a motivator, you know, that somebody who they already know your weaknesses and your problems, but they're going to encourage you, man, just to keep going, you know. And it's something to be really appreciated about that. But you have to let people in. Your business is not such this big secret that nobody can know about because you're afraid they're stealing whatever. I've been through thieves and people trying to figure it out and, you know, even make it on their own and all of these different things. I've been through that. And so the betrayal of being a small entrepreneur, the stress and the when is it going to happen and all of those things. And I couldn't even really think of a better, and the stress of it. I mean, it's been many days, even with credit, that I say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't do it. But I have to think of, too, the amount of people that I've been able to help, you know. And you can't be so involved in your own bubble that you can't see the big picture, you know. So
yeah.
I have a lot of sympathy, empathy, empathy for small business owners.
Now, you had, while at Hope Federal Credit Union, you worked also very closely with a new organization that was formed called Home Based Business Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
How is that organization doing?
It's really, oh my gosh, it has grown so much. Ladies, it's Home Based Business Chamber of Commerce, I believe it's .com, and it was founded by Beverly Anderson. And Beverly Anderson is a dynamic lady. I believe she works with the city of Memphis. It's called Boom Business Mentorships and Incubators and all of those things they do over at the city of Memphis Center. And I was able to, and she started, you know, helping them out. But Home-Based Business Chamber actually gives the home-based business owner access to, like, these big Memphis Chamber of Commerce, these resources and tools that that's available to everyone. And now she's spread it. She's gone, reached from Memphis. So she has Atlanta chapters all through Georgia. Lord, I believe she's maybe in about 30 states now.
I think out on the East Coast as well.
Hey, absolutely.
Now, we've got maybe 6 or 7 minutes here left, but I want to talk about some other little project you've got cooking, and that is a book. Tell us about your book.
Wow. So my book is going to talk about, it's the 3 steps to good credit, and three steps.
Did you say 3 steps to good credit?
Yes. And
so we'll talk. Is that going to be the title?
That is the title, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You said,
Well, go ahead and tell us about it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so it's really simple. When you, credit is a simple thing, and it's not to be made hard. The first step, of course, you have to pull your credit, and you have to see where you are. Okay, the second step is basically building the information, whether it's yours or not. If it's bad, dispute it. They have 30 to 45 days to verify if it's yours or not. And then there's other steps after that to even if they say it's yours, what to do and everything. So I have template letters in there. I will have information on there on how to build your credit using your own money. I will talk about alternative ways to build your credit. As well as piggyback, it's not new, but it's good news because it'll be in a format that you can, it's simple. I mean, even a second grader can understand it. So it's going to be, you know, direct. I'll talk about my testimony, you know, as it relates to credit and all of that. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
And we're looking forward to, at iImpress, we're looking forward at helping you with that as well. And I know that it will be a great benefit to people. But they, if they read the book, they can still come back in and talk to Lavita Maku about specifics. Am I right?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like to say to listeners tonight? Any tidbit, some gem of wisdom that you can leave with us?
Yes, I would like to leave a gem and say, just don't give up. You know, the worst thing that you could do is wallow in your self-pity. And no matter if your business is doing good, if it's doing bad, you know, future of it is all dependent upon you. And so that's getting the universal laws off doing a shameless plug, but it's not shameless because it's true. Your, the 12 laws, I think the affirmations that you have are just phenomenal. I did it one day and just saw so much happen for me in my business just by, you know, saying it. So you have to speak over your business. You have to speak life through it. You have to speak life over any situation that involves you, you know. And so I just found that to be a huge staple and being consistent. You know, you can have an idea and it can just stay an idea, or you can give your idea a feat and that's growth and being consistent in doing so. So
I want to thank you for being with us this week on the Laws of Material Wealth. It's been great having you back after so long, and we look forward to the book and to people who can contact you at the address she's given. If anybody's missed that, just email me, iamrenford@gmail.com, and I'll put you in touch. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Thanks again, Lavita, and thanks, everybody, for being with us this evening. And join us next week on Wednesday night at 8:30 Central Standard Time for another edition of The Laws of Material Wealth. Have a good evening.